big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to a brand new edition of
the Pleasure Dome. Welcome to the Pleasure Dome.
Yes, what he said.
Yeah.
Johnny James Rotten.
In Xanadu to Kublai Khan, a sacred Pleasure Dome decree where Alf the Sacred River ran. Through caverns measureless to man.
Down is that to the first Maiden sea. Album or the second one?
Yeah.
Johnny James Rotten and myself, W. Mick Wall.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No. Why? Wise one.
Why? Why Mick Wall?
Right, so we're going to dive straight in.
Straight into the news of the day.
News of the day. Well, it's probably news of the day a week or two ago, but we're going to call it news of the day today because we've only just been taught. I just played it
just
to you.
Just chatted about it then. Off mic.
John, who is a big Ghost fan.
Big fan of all Ghosts. Not just Ghost the band, but Ghosts in general.
What, Ghosts?
Ghostly apparitions.
What?
Ghostly apparitions, all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But first, though, Ghosts have done a version of Phantom of the Opera by The Maiden.
Yeah.
And you didn't know.
I didn't know that. But I read, as you sent me the link, I read they've actually done a covers EP and they've done Genesis and other stuff on it.
Yeah.
So it's part of that.
But Paul Di'Anno has waded in because he sang the original.
Is he still like
alive?
He's in South America somewhere, isn't he? On the run, you know.
Looking more like Ronnie Biggs every day.
He's in a wheelchair. He's always in a wheelchair.
Is he?
Yeah.
Paul Di'Anno.
Yeah.
In a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, are you having me on?
No, I've seen it on. I've seen it online.
You mean a wheelchair?
Yeah, he gets wheeled on stage and does it from a wheelchair.
He does
with his sort of crappy, you know, band of people who aren't Iron Maiden.
Dedicated musicians.
Yeah, dedicated followers of Paul Di'Anno. You can imagine how good he is now after 45 years and he's in a wheelchair. Can you imagine how brilliant he is?
That is so weird. He's in a wheelchair because Steve.
I mean, I'm not knocking him for that.
Steve Harris told me one of the things that used to annoy him the most about Paul, and that one of the things that led to him being kicked out of the band, was he would always come off stage and faint. He said, he goes, but he always seemed to faint on a fucking couch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He never fell face down on the floor.
Yeah.
He would, on a couch.
He just had an attack of the vapours, as they used to say.
He said he'd pretend to be out, and we'd have to go, fuck.
Di'Anno's fainting. I mean, fainting. Now, he's supposed to be the sort of voice of punk, isn't he, and all the rest of it.
Well, rock with a punk
energy. All of that, because people are the most boring people in the world. They go, ooh, the first two Iron Maiden albums, well, they really should listen to those, because they're the true Iron Maiden. Bollocks. Number of the Beast, mate. That's when Iron Maiden started. Just like that through the whole album, and it was, White Man Came Across the Sea.
Well, that's Run to the Hills.
Yeah,
that's not that's Number of the Beast.
No, but it was, woe to you, O earth and sea, because the devil sends a beast with wrath. That one, that was good.
The number will be 666.
That was Rod Smallwood doing that, wasn't it?
Was it?
I don't know.
If it was Rod, it would be, bloody that would have been Rod, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, Di'Anno waded in, and I'm with Paul on this. Okay?
Well, you would be, because you're one of the...
I'm one of the
really
original. I'm one of
the
original,
Because we were talking about this song, and you said, I think it's on the first album.
That's
Which album is it
I'm
on?
I'm just not telling you, because you don't know.
All right, what's the first album called?
Iron Maiden.
He says with confidence.
Of course.
And what's the second album called?
Killers.
I knew you'd know that one.
I tell you what, actually, I don't mean to digress, obviously, but on Twitter there's a page that puts up old articles from Sounds. From
yeah, I quite like that page, Twitter page. They do Kerrang as well, don't they? It's good.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They've done a couple with Roar as well.
Have they?
Metal Hammer, yeah. But they put one up the other day, and it was a. Did you ever meet Robbie Miller? Was that a bit before your time?
Maybe a bit before your time. She was still at Sounds, I think, just right. about. But I think something. They kind of kicked her out or something, didn't they?
I don't know. Yeah. I honestly don't know. But back in 1980, she was a fresh face on the scene.
Yeah.
I know because I was still doing PR in those days. And I can't remember what band it was, but I ended up sort of escorting
See, that was
her.
Your, that was your problem in PR. You used to phone people and go, I can't remember what band it is, but would you like to hear their
Well,
album?
It's funny you should say that, because the methodology was, it didn't matter what band it was. If I said, are you coming to the... And what I'm basically saying is it's Party Town tonight. Yeah. Are you coming?
Party Central.
Yeah, who's the band? Yeah.
Doesn't matter who's the band.
Mate. I just said, you know...
Do you want to come out
Do you want to... Yeah. Do you want to... Kick some ass.
Yeah.
Take some names.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Meet a chick. Anyway, I remember taking a... It must have been to see some rock band because it was heavy publicity. And she was from the north and she just arrived in London and she was very sort of new wave.
Mm.
Bless her heart. You know, I think she'd been to uni or something and now she'd got a job on Sounds and... And she had sort of the clothes, you know. She dressed up in the clothes. She had a funny little pork pie hat. And
right, yeah.
That kind of vibe, you know. And I was probably taking it to see fucking Black Sabbath or something. And it might have been Camel. Yeah, yeah, I think it was.
It really a band just right on the zeitgeist of the 1980s.
We couldn't get anyone to come and see Camel in London.
Really?
So we
That's
would take
surprising.
Them to Brighton, Scott, yeah. get on a plane,
Just a day
go to
out.
Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Do you want a day out? At the end of the day out, you will have to see Camel.
Yeah,
yeah that's
but
how
don't
you pitched
worry,
it.
I've written the review.
Yeah.
You just use
I'll
that,
hand
mate.
It to you. You use that. Come back the next morning
back
after
next
a nice
morning.
Breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah. After a big fry-up.
Yeah.
Get that down, you mate.
Yeah.
So I'm out with Robbie, and she's got the whole... She's kind of absorbed the sort of punk ethos a couple of years too late, but it's all about, you know, sort of sneering at things and all that kind of stuff. So she was quite hard work. I remember thinking, oh, fuck, you know. And then, out of the blue, she started writing about Iron Maiden.
Oh.
Hence this big feature from 19, I'm going to say 81.
Right.
And the first half of it is all about how heavy metal is shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, guess what? This lot aren't too bad, you know. And then she reviewed the Killers album, but only gave it 2 stars.
Right.
And Steve Harris, years later, when I was working on the biography, was still steamed up about that.
Yeah.
He said,
probably still is.
Well, but according to Steve, do you know why she only gave it 2 stars?
No.
Because Paul Di'Anno had stopped fucking her. Apparently she used to love the old gun belt. You know, that metal bands used to.
Yeah.
And Steve was like, I told him, I said, you could have dumped her after the album had come out. I mean, talk about unprofessional. Yeah. I forgot why I mentioned that. Oh, Paul Di'Anno.
Paul Di'Anno, yeah. Up to scratch as usual.
Yeah.
So he got... So, I mean, everyone who listens to this podcast will know this, but he got kicked out of Iron Maiden after 2 records.
He was invited to leave.
He was invited to leave. The next album they made was Number of the Beast, which made their fortune. It was the still remains the lodestone of their catalogue, I would say.
Well, you say that.
I do say that.
You say
that's
that,
true.
But some of the greatest Maiden tracks were the Di'Anno era.
See, that's what... This is the
I'm running game. Free, yeah. I'm running free. And
God.
What was the other one? Sanctuary. Those used to be the encores.
Yeah.
Rothschild.
Yeah.
Di'Anno classic.
Yeah. Mm.
Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Which
now
was one of their
by
big...
Ghost.
Well, now by Ghost.
Yeah.
But But I was listening to it, and to me, it sounded pretty. It's obviously not Maiden, but it sounded pretty faithful to the original, except for the vocals. Which are, I don't know, sort of generic new wave.
Yeah,
or
by
something.
The bloke in Ghost. If you know how he sings, you know how it's going to go.
Yes, but if you know Phantom of the Opera, you miss that operatic opera.
As I said to you off camera, there's no point in doing a cover version if you're just going to do it exactly the same. What's the point of that?
No, but there's no point doing a cover version if you can't manage it.
Well, no, if you get, it's just a different version. If you want to listen to the Deano one, that is still there. You can still listen to
it. Why do it again if you haven't got the chops?
Well, no, why do it again if you're going to do it like Paul Deano did it?
You'd have to do it like Paul Deano, just not like Simon Le Bon.
What? But that's what people would want. That's what Ghost are like.
What, they're like Duran Duran meets Maiden.
They're kind of right, I would say.
You
they're,
love Ghost.
They're right, I do love Ghost.
You love
they're,
Ghost.
They're right on the edge of pop metal, I would say. You know, they're a masked... But I was having this conversation the other day. They're a masked band, and it's really hard to think...
Masked?
Yeah.
Wear a mask?
Yeah, they all wear masks. And the guy who's writes all the songs and sings, the one you don't like...
I didn't say I didn't like him.
Torsten,
I don't think it works on that
He's
track.
Called Torbjörn or Torsten or something like that.
His name's not Ghost.
His name's not Ghost. No, he's had a series of characters that he has inhabited through the years of Ghost. So every album he's sort of a different character.
Mask.
He was a series of popes, first of all. So he was Pope one, and now he's become something else. But he's really good, but it's that very sort of, you know, showy, the stage set is brilliant. All the other people are just called something like Drones or something, so you never see them. They're just all in masks the whole time.
So it could be anybody up there.
It could be anybody. That's the point of the band. It could be anybody. And
except for the vocals.
But it's really hard to think of a masked band who aren't great, I think. You know?
Crimson Glory.
Yeah, maybe them. I did think about them, but they kind of had a
hang
period.
Hang on.
When they had the kind of the sort of full metal masks,
like,
that was quite
something
good.
Like Jason and the Argonauts.
Yeah.
It was a silver...
Yeah, yeah.
They came on the Monsters
good.
Of Rock show once. I used to do it in the morning, 10 a.m, which was crack of dawn in those
time,
days. Yeah. And they came in the masks.
Yeah, of course they did. Would you remember what the singer was called?
Fuck no.
Or he was the main guy in the band. I don't know if he was a singer. He was
Mask
called,
One?
No, he was called Midnight. I don't know why I remember that.
Are you sure this Ghost dude isn't Midnight
no,
in
he's
a
definitely
modern
not
incarnation?
No, Midnight.
Son of Midnight.
Midnight's
Maybe
midnight.
He's
Midnight's
after Midnight.
Midnight's now in his late 70s.
He's after Midnight. Yeah, but he's got the mask.
He's got a... No,
and
well,
he's
got sort of makeup.
Died, and now he's a Ghost.
Mask or makeup. You know, it's a bit like, you know, the singer in Rammstein. You know, he comes on in that.
Does he?
First time I saw Rammstein, he was dressed as a hunchback. It was fucking amazing. It was really good.
Yeah. Well, you come back to me when he comes on in a wheelchair, okay?
Yeah,
because Deano is the OG of phantoms and operas and ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, unfortunately, he is an idiot, isn't he? That's the problem with Paul
Who,
Deano.
Paul Deano?
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you
There is ongoing evidence of this.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, if you're listening, Paul, I will email you John's address on Rockstar Row later. I love Deano. When I was doing the Maiden book, I had such a job trying to get hold of him. And because it was an official book, everybody was on board, all the old members... like Dennis Stratton Smith, he couldn't wait to be interviewed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Paul, you couldn't, you know, you'll be at this number on the Tuesday, but if you're ringing after six, it's this number, you know. I finally got hold of him on a mobile somewhere. This is like 97 when mobiles weren't your sort of go-to phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was walking down the street somewhere doing something, and I did interview him. But he was definitely a character, put it that way.
Yeah, well, no, I did an appalling interview with him. I think it was for Classic Rock. He published an autobiography, And it was, do you remember when John Blake, the bloke who used to be his son,
they used to put out everything.
He started like a
They used to offer eight grand a book.
Yeah, but he was really successful because I tell you who he published, which was his breakthrough, and it was a massive selling book, was that bloke Lenny McLean, who was a bare knuckle boxer.
Who was in
Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. He was in that. And his book came out just at the right time when people wanted that kind of real, this is what hard men are like, you know. And made a fortune off the name of the book. The book was brilliant,
wasn't it? What was it called?
The Governor.
The Governor.
The Governor.
The Governor.
Yeah.
And he was the fucking Governor.
But he was, unfortunately, he was dying of cancer when it came out. He had brain cancer. But and then he did a book with a guy called Roy Shaw, who I'd actually interviewed, who was another bare knuckle unlicensed boxer.
That was for your book Unlicensed.
Yeah, yeah, which I now don't.
A great book. I disown that.
I don't know why.
Because
it's no good. It's no good.
What do you mean it's no good?
It's no good. But the one good bit is when I go to meet Roy Shaw, and Roy Shaw by then is in his 60s, and he lived somewhere out in Essex. He had loads of money. He lived somewhere out in Essex, and he said, "I said I'll drive out and meet you." Again, this is like pre-mobiles, give me your postcode.
Give me the nearest phone box.
The car will take me there.
What's the nearest pub? I'll find it.
Yeah, it was literally like that. I'm in this little village and you go past the pub and, you know. He said, do you want me to stand in my front garden? So you can... I said, oh,
yes, please,
that won't,
Lee.
Yeah, I'm not sure that'd be necessary. So I went out
you
to...
You wouldn't miss him, though,
You didn't. Honestly, he was in his 60s, but he was still like... Mm. I mean, he was like a cube of pure muscle.
He was the Governor.
And hatred, you know. And he hated Lenny McLean. Roy Shaw hated... They'd had three fights, and Roy Shaw won the first one. And then Lenny McLean won... Unlicensed fights.
So no gloves.
No, well, they had like... You know,
very... Those light...
So some discussion about what happened. But the interesting thing was this was in the sort of mid-70s or whenever it was. And there were like 5,000 or 6,000 people at it. You know, they were like quite big events. Roy Shaw was on the cover of Time Out.
Wow.
And he showed me it. He still had it. And it said, Roy Shaw, still the hardest man in London. And he's like glaring out from the cover. But he'd had a terrible life, you know, really sad life where he obviously, I say this now, it'd be reflected on completely different. He obviously was mentally ill. And especially when he was younger, he'd lost his father, I think, and become involved in this armed robbery in which
he fell into it by accident.
Another rock and roll connection, which he told me about. It was the armed robbery that Bill Kerbishley, who was the manager of
The Who
and so on, was arrested for and went down. And Roy Shaw said to me, which Bill Kerbishley always said, he wasn't involved, but the code in those days was... You just had to do your time. You had to shut up. You know, Billy was a good boy. He just shut up and did his time, you know.
For which I understood from Bill years later, for which he was appropriately rewarded.
Well, probably was, because that was what you were supposed to do. And Roy Shaw got locked up. And then he was such a violent man. I mean, the only way he could react to anything was through violence. And he... started beating people up in prison. He ended up in Broadmoor and he beat people up in Broadmoor. I mean, he'd had this really, when you actually got into it, there was no glamour or no, it was just a really sad life, you know.
And what was he like with you? Did he threaten you?
He was lovely. He was lovely.
Did he like the book when it came out?
I don't know. I really don't know. Because by then I think he'd
done
his own.
You mean you went on the run? You went on the run when the book came out.
But yeah, but this was the thing, was like, you know, when they did their own books, it was all like, oh, it was brilliant. Those were the days, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But he'd sort of... the second fight with Lenny McLean, he had some excuse about he'd been taking ginseng. He goes, he goes, I'd had all this ginseng. It was like raw royal jelly or something. And it was supposed to buzz me up, make me like a terror, but I just felt all sleepy. It's like, yeah, because Lenny McLean, I've seen the film of the fight. Lenny McLean's basically stamping on his head, you know, because these fights didn't finish when you went on the ground. It was like, someone pulled them off you. It was so that was Roy. I can't even remember how we got onto that. That was Roy Shaw.
Well, but also Bill, who did his time.
Yeah.
Do you remember Roger Daltrey a few years later did
Vicar?
McVicar.
McVicar, which was a good film. Daughtry was a good actor.
Which
at
was
that
a
point.
Great yeah. film. Yeah. I think it was Daughtry's best ever role.
Yeah,
he'd done a couple of good things. I mean, I discount Tommy and Listomania, not because, just because they weren't really about him acting.
No, no.
But McVicar was
for
real.
Yeah, really good, yeah.
Written by John McVicar, who was another face in Kirbishley's circle.
Yeah.
And you couldn't help but feel in those scenes with Daughtry. Because I swear, watching that movie a few years ago, I could hear Bill's voice when Daughtry was speaking sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of very cool customer, but underlying air.
Yeah, I mean, it was just if you were in those circles in those days. I mean, society was very different. There was no sort of big middle class like you get now. You know, there was a big working class.
There's that great story that when Jimmy Page, this is going back about 20 years, was doing Daughtry's teenage cancer trust show at the Royal Albert Hall, which was an annual thing. I don't know if it still is, probably. And that night they had Jimmy, because by now Bill is managing Jimmy and Robert Plant. Jimmy's going to get up and do something.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And somehow it had been arranged that he could, you know, Paul Weller's band would accommodate Jimmy. Paul would do the singing or whatever. But of course, I don't know if you ever met Weller, but fucking talk about an arrogant fucking never knowingly been seen smiling about anything. This poor middle class boy from fucking Weybridge.
Woking,
is that what it is? Yeah. Anyway, so in Weller's head, they're mods.
Yeah.
And Paige is like a hippie. So Paige, who doesn't know, he doesn't know punk happened.
No,
bless him.
Of course he doesn't. Yeah.
So he comes up and he's doing whatever the fuck he's doing, you know.
See, this is it. Was this just like in his sort of solo comeback when he was still a bit addled?
It was after Page and Plant.
Oh, okay. So he was functioning. So
but you know, without Robert, he's
because
just
I saw him with Roy Harper at the Cambridge Folk Festival. Fuck knows why I went to that. And they were both. I mean, they came on the middle of the afternoon. They'd done an album together. Absolutely terrible. You can imagine what they're both with acoustic guitars, both completely out of
wasted.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were in the arms of Morpheus, perhaps. Traditional English De Quincean tradition.
Something like that. Yeah.
Anyway, so Weller and the band are really like being snidey about Page, I mean, little in jokes and behind his back and all that. And Bill sees all this.
Yeah.
So he walks on, he grabs Weller by the fucking throat, pushes him up against the wall. You fucking listen to me, son, right? And at this moment, Weller's minder, this typical big minder bloke, comes over, and without even looking at him, Bill puts his finger in his face and goes, fuck off, sonny.
Yeah.
And the guy went, yeah, all right, mate, leave it out, leave it out, leave it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And guess what? No more jokes made about Jimmy. And they all played a lovely show that night.
See, that's the thing. You know, when you hang around with Roy Shaw, that's what it was like.
Yeah.
And you've got to remember, like, Bill Coversley, Roy Shaw would be the enforcer. You know, he's just like terrifying.
No, it'd probably be like, Roy, go and get the tees in, mate. He'd be one of those, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So back to Maiden. Where this was leading for me was, I think we're going to have to be divided on the ghost vocal thing. I totally get what you're saying. I am an early champion of all kinds of alternative ways of producing rock music. I just not feeling the vocal on it. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, I can see why it doesn't really go with the sort of Iron Maiden.
Because they do a brilliant job on the music.
Yeah.
Anyway, Maiden. The Maiden.
Yeah, the real Maiden.
The real Bruce. Maiden. What, not Blaze?
Would I made them have?
Wow! I thought you were. I thought you loved Blaze.
Love Blaze.
Wow!
I do love Blaze, but even Blaze will admit he's not the first name that comes to mind when you think of Iron Maiden.
Well, for me, it's like, you know, Diarno.
Yeah, well, it would be
Blaze, and then the other Bruce. Bloke. What's the other one? What's his name?
Yeah, because you love him so much. Oh, Bruce, can we have an interview just before Donington? Oh, Bruce, can we do an interview for my Monsters of Rock?
No, none of that ever happened. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so The Maiden, about to begin a new tour, unless they've already begun. I think they might have already begun.
Of course they've begun.
Oh, okay. But it's one of those deep dive sets. Have you seen the set list?
No.
None of the stuff. It's almost like, you know that thing about... you know, you get the best of, and we were set,
yeah, okay, see the worst
of Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
They're doing Mother Russia.
Oh, that's one of their truly worst songs. It's amazing.
They're doing Mother Russia.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. If they're doing that one, is it Run Silent, Run Deep? It's on the same, but it goes The Cunning Fox in the Chicken's Lair. That's mine and Paul Elliott's favourite lyric.
It could be. I should pull up the set list, but I can't be bothered. So. Yeah. No, it's
just take it from me. That's what they're doing.
And they're doing Somewhere in Time. Caught Somewhere in Time.
But then
at 9 minutes.
Then they're probably like so bored of playing all the other ones.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it going, all right, you might be bored, but I would like to hear 2 minutes to midnight.
Yeah.
I would like to hear the evil.
Yeah, but you say that, but you're not going to see Iron Maiden.
Well, how do you know?
I'm predicting now.
Are you going?
No, I definitely not. I can assure you.
Well, I don't see why not. I mean, they are the premier metal band.
Yeah, well, you know, far away. I can't remember when I last saw them, actually. Years ago.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Wasted Years. That's their one good song, Wasted Years, when Ryan Adams does it.
Oh, in fairness, I think they've done more than one.
Okay, name it.
Stranger in a Strange Land. Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter.
Yeah,
that's
a
classic. Who doesn't
Wasted love? Years is a good song.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
You were going to mention Ryan.
Ryan Adams. Great version of Wasted Years. But again, it just shows that it's a really good song, that you can strip it down like that and play it like that and it's still great.
Well, I was embedded with them in those days and I always knew Wasted Years is a great song because it was Adrian. He wrote the lyrics, he wrote the music. Yeah. Adrian's a proper guy.
Hence its lack of exposure down the years.
Well, it was one of their singles. In fact, I think it was the lead single.
Well, actually, I think you'll find it was
a Tuesday and not a Wednesday. Yeah. In green ink.
Yeah.
Wednesday, red ink.
Yeah.
And I heard... So I was very familiar with that song, a great admirer. And then about 20 years, 15 years later on the radio, Johnny Walker or something, when he was on Radio 2 in the afternoons, he's got Ryan
Adams
as a guest. And he plays live in the studio an acoustic version of Wasted Years.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Johnny Walker and these people have no idea it's an Iron Maiden song.
Yeah.
But it sounds fantastic. I mean, it is a fucking great
song. Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah. But when you hear it acoustically, you really get it.
Yeah.
And the words are fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Coast of gold to the seven seas.
Yeah.
It's really good, yeah.
It's really good. Yeah. And at the end of it, everybody's going, wow, that was really good, right? So he goes, oh, no, that's by Iron Maiden.
Yeah. And you know what he did it for? Or where it ended up? It was on Californication. On the show, yeah.
Well, Hang on. Oh, on the TV programme.
Yeah, on the TV. The Red Hot Chili. No, no, on the TV programme, Californication. They used
his version?
Yeah.
Rings a bell. I loved that show, but I can't specifically remember that. But in the studio, when he went Iron Maiden, it was just like, it was that someone had pulled the plug. Yeah. There was just silence. No one knew.
Who it was, yeah.
Well, they sort of, yeah, but we're not allowed to say that.
He did. Ryan Adams does some great metal covers. He does Mother by Danzig.
Does
which
he?
Is another great song.
Acoustically?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of, he does it with an electric guitar, but just him, you know, so he just does the riff. Like, Mother, tell your children not to come my way. It's really good.
I think,
and he does a really good version of Times Like These, Foo Fighters as well. Yeah, he's very good, Ryan Adams. He's very good. He's really very good.
Yeah. So what deep dive, before we leave this behind,
this
what
land,
deep dive
this wasted land.
Maiden song would you like?
I don't know enough of their songs. Everyone on Twitter seems to be going on about Alexander the Great or something.
They're doing that.
Of Ross's tremendous line about Maiden was whenever... Because what he used to do, like when there was going to be an Iron Maiden album, there was always this pressure at Kerrang to get hold of what the track listing was going to be.
Because he was
a big,
news editor.
It was
so
a
you
big,
had to do
big
this.
Story, you know. So the person who would always give it to me was Ross. But he would like eke it out and make me kind of guess, you know. Well, there's one called, and his great line was, you can always tell what film Steve Harris has been watching. Because it was always like, you know, Aces High and
didn't they do a song called The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner?
Oh, they might have done.
Wasn't that on Somewhere in Time?
Yeah. I don't know. There's no point asking.
I thought you were their number one bad boy.
No, never was.
No, I think so.
I just used to like being taken out once every time the album came out by Rod Smallwood to be told at great length, but over a very expensive lunch, how good it was.
Yeah.
And how great it was all going to be.
And how you're going to put it on the cover.
Yeah, how it's going to be on the cover this date, and this date. Yeah. And
we'll fly you out to Poland.
Yeah.
It'll be amazing.
Do you want to come to Gdansk? Yeah, no, thanks.
Well, you know...
that's where we're opening the tour, yeah, is it? Okay, can I just wait till it gets to Los Angeles? I'll see it there.
Well, a lot of Maiden fans are very, very excited about it, and I say good luck to them.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
Ghost. The deep dive. No.
Oh, the deep dive.
We've left... No Maiden fan likes
It's definitely Ghost. A way of making your ticket sales more selective, announcing a set list of unknown songs.
You know what it was? There were too many women in the audience on the last tour. They thought, why are we doing all these chart hits when we could actually go deep?
Yeah, and do the 12-minute ones that Lingy likes. Dave Ling's probably thinks it's great.
It's probably at every show.
Oh, they've never. They
recording.
They haven't played this one since the 7th of April, 1982.
And then they only played the 11-minute version.
Yeah, this is
18-minute version today. Infinitely
better. Because they've now got three guitarists or however many it is.
Yeah.
Because they still, every time they hire. See, that's the thing. They should have. Here's an idea. Instead of getting rid of Blaze and getting rid of Paul Diano, why didn't they keep them in the same way they kept all the guitarists? They could now have three singers, three guitarists, only one bass player.
I tell you what, though, you know, like in Spinal Tap, where the drummer keeps dying.
Yeah.
Maiden with singers is almost like the curse of the Maiden singer, because Paul Diano, the OG, according to you, he's in a wheelchair.
He is in a wheelchair.
Comes on stage in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Blaze Bayley, the most fun run-around knockabout vocalist in Wolfsbane, not in Maiden, but in Wolfsbane. Now, poor man, he's had a heart attack.
Yeah. He's recovering, I believe.
Well, they all say that, but is he?
Well, I'm sure he is. Yeah.
Well, they all say that, though. I mean, if you're not dead, you're recovering, aren't you?
Well, I guess.
I don't know if he'd be running around the stage anytime soon singing The X Factor
yet,
or whatever it was he's saying. Yeah. And then you've got Bruce, a cancer survivor.
Oh, is he? Okay.
What do you mean, is he?
I don't know. I haven't kept up with what Bruce Dickinson's
doing. I thought you were trying to avoid hearing
what Bruce did. Talking of boring interviewees. God. Then I did this, then I did that. Oh,
I fly planes. I fly planes.
Oh, does he? He's never mentioned it.
And I'm an Olympic level fencer.
He'd never mentioned that either. No,
I wrote some books.
Oh, he'd never mentioned those, Bruce.
After reading Tom Wilt,
Tom
I wrote
Sharp.
A couple... Oh, sorry, Tom... Wilt was his book, wasn't it?
Yeah. People won't remember. Tom Sharp's one of those authors. He was at one point absolutely massive.
And now he's like
has
cancelled.
Completely disappeared. Yeah.
It's true.
But he isn't even published anymore.
What was his big...
it was Wilt, wasn't it?
Oh, Wilt, yeah. The series of Wilt.
Yeah.
And through Harry, Tom Sharp became the author everybody in the band had to read.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you read that Tom Sharp?
Yeah, really
not yet.
Fun.
Why not? He's brilliant. You go, oh God, yeah.
Okay.
And he was really funny. And then Bruce wrote his book, Lord Iffy Boat Race, which was
nothing
not
at
all.
Not based on a
Wilt at all.
No.
Not at all.
I still remember Ross's description of the flight he took, where he had to sit next to Bruce just as he finished Lord Iffy Boat Race. Yeah. Yeah,
I've mentioned it before, but for my sins, I was the one that got him his publishing deal.
Oh.
And I remember before one show on the Seventh Son tour, you know when you're on the road with a band, your time is not your own, but that suddenly a little pocket of 2 or 3 hours pops up in an afternoon somewhere, and you're like, fuck for that, you know, put my feet up, have a cup of tea, watch the telly.
Just... Oh, God.
Bruce, what a lovely surprise.
Yeah, Duke, would you like to do another interview?
He comes in, he's got the manuscript of Lord Iffy Boat Race, A4 paper.
Yeah, back in the day.
There you go. I'm like, What
was it about? I can't even remember what it was about.
I never read it. What are you talking about?
No, but it was
about a bloke called Lord Iffy Boat Race.
Yeah, but what
Race.
Was it about?
It was sort of like Wilt meets Confederacy of Dunces.
Oh, no. Confederacy of Dunces is a masterpiece.
Yeah, well, so is Wilt. I'm saying Wilt, Dunces, Boat Race.
Right.
There's a literary linear line, I think you'll find. And I think you'll find it was a Tuesday, not a Wednesday. Now, we've got other burning issues to discuss, but I'm thinking we may have come to the end.
We should do them on another podcast, just to keep the people listening in.
Yeah.
Because I hear we got another advert. I turned on the podcast show on Spotify.
Really?
I turned on the radio receiver.
I put the wireless on.
Yeah, and because I was waiting for the cricket, obviously, and... there's an advert on it.
For what?
I can't remember, but I was
thinking...
Why
aren't we getting any money?
Well, I reckon you are getting money.
Oh, you think? Damn.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things
where
I just...
found out.
Yeah, it'll be one of those things. Because my friend Tom... Right, get this. My friend Tom, who does a podcast about history, which is now really popular. Do you know what he's doing in November with his podcast? He's playing the Hammersmith Odeon.
Oh, get the fuck.
Yeah. Hammersmith Odeon, they're sold out.
Mate, we have offers.
We could do the Hammersmith Odeon.
Well, I don't know about the Hammersmith Odeon. We could do the
Hammersmith pub round the corner.
In the back room.
Yeah.
Seriously.
We should do it on the day that they're doing theirs.
We've had sniffs.
Have we?
We have.
See, again, this it plays into my theory that things happen with this podcast that I don't know about.
Not really. It was more kind of me. But
yeah,
they wanted you.
Oh, I see.
Well, yeah, because I have a resume of live performances.
Do you?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Witness my legendary appearance. I can't remember the name of the bloody place in Wolverhampton.
The little pub, Hall.
No, the little pub where all the bands play. I can't remember what it's called. But
Roadmenders.
Eh?
Roadmenders? No, that wasn't Wolverhampton, was it?
No, it doesn't matter. I did a gig as myself.
Doing what?
Telling stories.
I thought you meant you'd like played songs.
No. I did 90 minutes, right? I was supposed to do 2 45-minute sets
like
of intermission.
Yeah,
right?
That was so people could leave.
But because only 50 people turned up,
right.
They said, look, it's silly because it's quite a big stage. I said, don't go on the stage. It'd just be silly. Stand in front of the stage on the floor and then people can sit at these tables and don't worry about the intermission. We'll flash the light when it's time for you to get off. Did an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Brought up a suitcase full of
books. You did an hour. You were deliberately ignoring the light, were you?
No,
the end of the hour and a half, the light's flashing. It's like a bloody...
whole room is lit up, illuminated.
Yeah, it's like people having fits because it's...
No, it was a bit nerve-wracking. I mean, I came out and made a joke about Robert, how mean Robert Plant is, and it went down like a fucking lead
balloon.
Yeah,
in Wolverhampton, that's a good idea.
I thought it'd be funny. Yeah. I did the accent and everything.
Yeah.
They didn't like it. But by the end of it, they were laughing.
The ones that were left.
They all stayed. And afterwards, I gathered up, all your books over the years. I plonked them on a table and I sold them for 10 quid each.
Yeah, nice.
And I left with about 300 quid in cash in my pocket, thinking, there's a good night's work.
I did that
work.
A few weeks ago. It was quite good.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where?
I can't tell you.
Fuck off.
I can't tell you what book, but it was good.
What do you mean you can't tell me
I'll tell you off mic.
Tell me now. Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, here's what happened to me. I spent the night in, my God, it was, it won't be on TripAdvisor, that's for sure. And the next day, feeling pretty.
Tell me, cars on TripAdvisor.
Cars would have been better.
Lay-bys. There's a very nice lay-by on the A346 coming out of Wolverhampton.
Dogging site. We've got your little camper van.
Yeah.
The entertainment will be local. No, it was anyway, the next day I'm feeling pretty fucking good driving home from Wolverhampton. Yeah, chip. I might get a burger. So
I do. The 300 quid I've got in my pocket.
Yeah, so I do. And as I'm driving out, this old lady in a car in front of me hits her brakes for no reason. Yeah. No reason.
Well, it's one of those insurance jobs. They get little old ladies to do those.
I'm in first gear.
Yeah.
Straight into the back of her.
Well, you're driving too close, I'm afraid. That's the law.
I know. Yeah. I know. I ended up having to comfort her. She went to pieces, the poor old thing. Got the purse, obviously. But she was sad, you know. I'm thinking, do you know how much it costs to repair the fucking car?
Let me guess. 350 quid.
More like 600.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was one of my gigs. I've done a literary festivals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And what else have I done? A few things like that.
Good.
Anyway, we'll talk about it off mic.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll come to some arrangement.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we can do gigs. You want to do some gigs?
Yeah.
You won't turn up.
I will.
Anything after dark, you can't be found, mate. You cannot be prized out of that hellhole you call home.
Yeah.
On Millionaire's Row.
I'll do it by Zoom.
Ugh. Right, and on that bombshell, we bid you adieu.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How do I stop this, Fern?